It's Farmer Friday on Ag PhD Radio. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Darren Hefty along with my brother Brian. We're broadcasting from the Morton studio today and taking your calls and questions all throughout the show. Our phone lines are open at 844-44-AG-PHD, or you can send us an email, radio@agphd.com.
All right, so we are going to start off the show today with our Ag PhD mailbag here in just a second. Before we do, I guess I just wanted to give you a quick update on our own farm and kind of in our region of the country what's going on. So we're from southeast South Dakota. We're right by Sioux Falls is where we farm. And we basically could have been done 2 weeks ago with our planting. We just had some new ground and a little bit of ground we were fixing up. A little bit we took from pasture, stuff like that. So we've been doing some dirt work and tiling and that kind of thing over the last couple of weeks. But we've got about probably a little under 200 acres or right around 200 acres of a little under 200 acres of soybeans left. And we got like 40 acres of corn left. So no big deal. We farm about 3,000 acres. We should be done at some point next week. No big rush, you know, and we've got 90% of the crop in. But things are looking pretty good so far. They're going to look much better next week when it gets warm. They're talking highs in the 80s here next week. So that would be fantastic. Our crop will start to green up a little bit. In our area here, we had bad water issues last year. And it's basically because most people don't have tile in the Dakotas, and that's why people haven't been able to plant some this year and a lot last year. This year, we're expecting North Dakota and northern South Dakota to be pretty bad in terms of acres unplanted. But here in southeast South Dakota, everything is going to get planted. In fact, most everything already is planted. So we're looking forward in our area to a good crop this year. Hopefully it turns out that way. Again, it's Farmer Friday. We'd love to hear from you. If you want to call in, it's 844-44-AG-PHD. But now we're going to get to the Ag PhD mailbag.
Bag. All right, Brian, first question comes from Randy in Minnesota. He says he's got alfalfa that he'd like to cut for hay and then come back and plant corn for silage around the end of May. Since the established alfalfa is going to be a little hard to kill with tillage, he was thinking that he would spray it out, just wondering yep. what he could spray and how that would affect things right around the time he wanted to chop that alfalfa.
Okay, so what a lot of people will do is they'll spray Roundup. You can go up to 44 ounces of Roundup. You got to wait, I think it's 36 hours before you cut that alfalfa then. And most guys will wait about 3 days just to make sure the Roundup has fully gotten into the root system of the alfalfa plant. But I would do that if it was me, and then you can go ahead and cut it, bale it, feed it to livestock, there's really no issue. That's about the only thing that's got that narrow of a window. So certainly other products could be used, but Roundup is very effective at controlling alfalfa. That is non-Roundup alfalfa. I assume that's what we're talking about here.
All right, thanks for the question, Randy. If it's Roundup Ready alfalfa, that's going to be a little trickier. If it's Roundup Ready alfalfa, then wow, what do you do in a spring application? If you're going to plant soybeans, you could go with the high rate of 2,4-D ahead of Enlist beans, for example.
Yeah, but I mean, he said he was going to plant corn, so what you'd go with is a high rate of dicamba, or really in the spring, all you can do is a pint. But, you know, in terms of the grazing restriction, I just don't remember off the top of my head with dicamba. I don't think it's good. I think it's at least a week, but I'll have to look. During our next commercial break, I'll look that up quick because I just don't remember. I just assumed he was talking non-Roundup alfalfa. Oh, one other thing that I could add to that whole thing. He said he was going to get the first cutting in effect. I mean, spray it off and get the first cutting and then plant corn in there. You better hope for a wet year because where we've seen guys try to do that in the past, and I mean I've dealt with this for 30 years in our region of the country here, we don't have a lot of rainfall, and that alfalfa is going to suck out a lot of moisture. So many times it's a 50 to 80 bushel yield loss on the corn because of the moisture loss and the nutrient loss from that alfalfa that you're waiting to kill and cut in the spring. So I would strongly suggest you go to church and do some praying on rainfall because you're going to need it.
All right, thanks for the question. Hopefully Brand didn't scare you there too much. Let's head on to the next one. We got one from Susan in Tennessee. And Susan said, we were considering planting silage corn and sunflowers, one row of each, alternating through the field, and we were going to chop them. Just wondering if there's a chemical that we could put down that would be safe for both seed corn and sunflowers. Ooh, boy, Susan, that's a tough one. Now, you've got a broadleaf crop and a grass crop, and yeah, it gets to be a little bit tricky about herbicides that are going to be selective on what they control.
But here's the thing. Don't do that, because it's going to impact, especially the sunflowers. They're going to get hurt by the corn, most likely. Just plant the corn in one half of the field, the sunflowers in the other half of the field, and mix them together later. You will end up with more total crop, and now you can actually do a better job in terms of the weed control. So, yeah, I'm just thinking off the top of my head here, and I can look this up. Maybe I'm missing something or look back at my notes. But about all I can think of would be dual. And post-emerge, you have nothing. No options. So is that really what you want to do? I mean, you're going to end up with a weedy mess out there. You're not going to have the best yield for either the sunflowers or the corn. So I would just strongly encourage you, and every time we get a question like this, I say the exact same thing. You will raise more total crop if you just split the field, put the one crop on the one side, the other crop on the other side, and now you can properly fertilize. You can properly kill the weeds. You can do a better job with fungicide and insecticide and all these other things. You start mixing those together, and your overall production is going to be down, I would guess, probably 25%.
All right. Well, thanks for the question, Susan. Really appreciate that. Yeah, I know there's a lot of thoughts about what are the advantages of doing some intercropping, a lot of different ways that people are thinking about doing that. But yeah, one row of each is pretty tricky. That's going to be pretty tricky from a weed control standpoint. Other than just hand weeding, if it's a small area, that might be your best bet. It's Farmer Friday on AgPhD Radio. Today, our phone lines are open at 844-44-AGPHD, and we'll be right back.
The Guardian Air Twin Spray Nozzle from Hypro produces a twin spray pattern with air-inducted droplets for superior coverage, even in dense canopies. Be effective and efficient with your spray application this season with the Guardian Air Twin. Hypro, helping you spray better.
The last thing you want after harvesting your grain is to spoil it before it goes to market. The Grain Temp Guard from Farm Shop MFG is a low-cost bin monitoring solution that tracks temperature and humidity and alerts you when conditions exceed safe thresholds. Visit farmshopmfg.com.
Wheat growers know Everest 3.0 herbicide for its relentless, flush-after-flush control of hard-to-kill grasses like wild oat. But they may not know that for a limited time, they can earn up to $5 an acre when they buy Everest 3.0 and at least one or more other qualifying UPL products, like long-lasting Evito fungicide. That's right, a $5 per acre cash rebate with a 320-acre minimum purchase. Ask your retailer for details or visit UPLNorthernRewards.com. But hurry, this offer ends August 31st.
Hey, Adam, new drone?
Not just any drone.
I mounted a laser on it to take out weeds.
Look out for that tree.
In the power lines! Oh, it's heading for the house.
There's a simpler way to protect spring wheat from weeds. Perfect Match Herbicide. The broadest spectrum weed and grass control in one product. Learn more at PerfectMatchHerbicide.com. Always read and follow label directions.
The laser.
Customer service goes a long way when trying something new. Ryan Shaw from Michigan shares how Soil Warrior helped him transition to strip tillage in his operation.
The Soil Warrior guys, they are amazing to work with. They made this jump in this transition extremely painless. One question that I get all the time is, how is the service and everything? And I said, well, actually, I get better service from them than I typically do my dealers uptown. They're just amazing.
More info at SoilWarrior.com.
Farmer Friday and Ag PhD Radio. Thanks for joining us. We're broadcasting from the Morton Studio today, and our phone lines are open at 844-44-AG-PHD. If you have an agronomic question or just want to talk about what's going on your farm today, let's head out to Colorado first and start with Dan. Dan, how's it going?
Well, going well. I can't say after a cold April, everything's going in the ground pretty quickly now, and things look good.
You're right. That April was a little different, and I know we got started with the planter, and then it got really cold. That wasn't good. Did you have crop in the ground during that cold weather, or did you wait till
well,
after?
The winter we had corn in the ground, but it was not through the ground. You know, it wasn't sprouted and up yet. The winter wheat was what really took it on the chin. Now most of it is we've got enough moisture that most of it is returned back to looking pretty good again. But there was a small amount of winter kill in some fields around the area. It just, you know, every time it would start to look good, it would get down to 5 degrees or 10 degrees and knock it back.
You know, one of the things that we heard too were guys that were trying to do burn downs. That burn down got to be kind of complicated because, yep, it was nice for a few days and then it got cold on them. Were you caught in some of that too?
Well, we had some herbicide tolerant wheat, the Coaxium system and the Clearfield system, that is really temperature sensitive, that guys were fighting with pretty bad. You know, just the efficacy of the product on the weeds, target weeds, was difficult to get the right temps. Some of it got sprayed late. I'll be honest, some of it probably got sprayed late because it just was too cold.
Yeah. Yeah, it was something here too. But you know what? Yeah. Hey, at least we're able to get out in the field. I know for our area last year, it was pretty tricky. Was there any prevent plant where you're at last year, or how did crops turn out for you?
You know, our crops were really good. In fact, we had a very wet late July and most of August around here. So our dryland crops were excellent. Our irrigated crops were all very good. It was almost too cool for our irrigated crops. But overall, I can't complain about last year at all. Every year is different.
Yeah, it sure is. Okay, so how about this year then? What have you done to adjust? Certainly market prices have changed and some of the opportunities have changed out there. Are you finding an opportunity for your farm to try and make a little more money?
Well, a lot of our wheat production goes as certified seed wheat to other growers around the area. You know, so that's been kind of a staple, and I think we'll stay on that side of it. You know, we're lucky in Northeast Colorado because we're a corn deficit state. So our corn markets, while the basis has dropped, is still decent. You know, we were quite a bit over the market here earlier this winter, you know, and it's down to even money or something. So it's dropped, but we can still get rid of stuff.
Sure.
You know, I did some things financial wise just to kind of make sure we had a little more room just in case we have to ride out the storm.
Yeah. Yep. Being conservative is a good deal. Hey, talk to us about that certified seed wheat just a minute. You know, I know you've got to keep it weed free. Are there some other things that you do to make sure you end up with really good quality stuff?
Well, most of the time, you know, we're trying to look and plan 2 to 3 years ahead. So varieties will go in clean fields. You know, we'll plant a lot of dryland corn in this area, a lot of ProSo millet. This year, we're actually experimenting with some spring wheat and some oats on some acres. You know, so it's more having to think ahead to keep weeds out and to keep other varieties out, you know, so that your seed is pure. And it takes a lot of planning. Sometimes you screw up, but it takes just a lot of planning. And then it's checked by the state, by the state for, they'll come out and walk the fields, certify fields, you know, and then we send samples, clean samples through the lab in August after our cleaners are here. It's quite a process. I mean, it takes a while to make good seed, but it's fun, and we're always planting the highest quality seed on this farm, which I think helps.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. Talking with Dan out in Colorado. Dan, thank you so much. Really appreciate having you on. Glad things are going pretty well out there, and glad it's warming up in your area too. That's a big deal.
Yep. So, no, glad. Anytime you need something.
You bet. Have a good season. We've got Randy on with us right now out in Illinois. Randy, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you today?
Good. So how's the wet weather been around your area? Have you been able to keep going, or has it been keeping you out a little bit?
I mean, we got off to a later start. You know, mainly earlier this week, we were able to put some beans in 2-3 weeks ago, something like that, and be able to do some spraying and some of that kind of stuff earlier on. But some of the planters kind of started Saturday, Sunday, and then you know, and then everybody ran pretty hard here Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, until it started raining yesterday again. So, the first stuff is just kind of starting to come out of the ground. You know, there's some corn that's maybe an inch and a half tall. You know, none of the beans are real big. Some of the stuff that was put in real early that was up got a little bit of got a little bit of frost on it, type of thing. But I would say the majority of the crops are in here in East Central Illinois.
Sure. You know, when I look at years like that, where it's kind of, you get a couple days, you can be in the field, then you're out. And then you get a couple days, then you're out. Getting pre-emerge herbicide sometimes is getting them applied on time is a little tricky. How'd you turn out on your farm with the herbicide apps?
So we were able to get all the bean ground sprayed because it was all no-till. And, you know, so it was firmer ground that we were able to run on. Corn ground, it's one of those, we do a fair amount of strip till, and so we had some firmer ground I could run on there, but I don't know, I might be 30% sprayed, you know, getting pre's down for my corn so far. So right now, of the corn I've got planted, some of it's been sprayed, some of it needs to be sprayed. You know, it was just kind of a, we'll do what we can, and when the planters need to roll, type of thing, we'll figure out how to spray it afterwards.
Yeah, corn a lot more forgiving than the soybeans. I'm glad to hear you get the soybeans sprayed.
Right, yeah. I mean, when even the first couple fields of beans we put in, it was, okay, these need to, because it had been too windy to spray and whatnot, and it was, and too cold for that matter, and it was, okay, let's get these planted. And then it rained, and it's like, okay, we either got to get these sprayed somehow, or we're going to have to change chemistries, type of thing, you know, but... we were able to get a window and get those two fields sprayed, and then we just kept on spraying at that point. Then, but
we've been getting a lot of questions out of your state about Enlist E3 soybeans. Are you running Enlist this year, or are you doing something different?
We are not. We're 100% seed grower for Bayer.
Okay.
So we've actually got, we're probably 2/3 Xtend Flex, actually.
Oh, awesome. Okay, so what's your impression on the Xtend Flex so far? Did you get maturities that you thought were great for you? Did they have a lot of choices, or what are you seeing on that Xtend Flex?
So we've got a 3.1, a 3.3, and a 3.6. I mean, for the most part, we have ranges. Yeah, the plant we grow for, you know, is mainly in the threes, and so we're able to get kind of an average across that. And though sometimes it's like, you know, seems like no matter what kind of variety, what kind of maturity range you plant, they're all ready at the same time anyway. But
yep. Well, it sounds great though. I mean, it sounds, hey, I've got everything from a 3.1 to a 3.6, but you're right. By the time you get everything planted, it takes a couple of weeks, and all of a sudden you're back to about even.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's kind of like the 3.3s we put in about 2.5 weeks ago, and the 3.6s got put in Wednesday, and then the 3.1s I just found out won't be coming for about 2 weeks yet. And so it's like, well, hopefully I'll be ready about the same time again. So, but that's the way it goes.
Yeah, it's always fun, especially with a new trait. And here, you know, a lot of this stuff, I know Bayer's gone to South America to get another turn on it, to get that next generation of stuff coming. They got some really good material. It's just, I know for growers, like we're talking with Randy here in Illinois, it's been, hey, you got to wait just a little bit longer, guys. It's coming. We got some really good stuff. But hopefully that trait gets labeled and we're all ready to go for next spring. Oh, hey, Randy, we got to run, but really appreciate having you on. Yeah. Good luck here the rest of the season.
All right, sounds good. Thank you.
You bet. Listening to Ag PhD Radio. We'll be right back.
When it comes to my weed control, I know a head start can go a long way. That's why I spray early, so I can keep control all season long with a Roundup Ready Xtend crop system, the system that makes the difference. This is my field.
Choose the Roundup Ready Xtend crop system for control of more weeds than any other soybean system. featuring Extendamax herbicide with vapor grip technology to manage tough-to-control weeds, including up to 14 days of soil activity, along with the field-proven performance of Roundup Ready to Extend soybeans. Now you have the right tools to extend your weed control and extend your yield with the system that makes the difference. Learn how you can put the system to work in your field when you visit RoundupReadyExtend.com. Extendamax is a restricted-use pesticide. Performance may vary. Always read and follow grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions. Check local regulations for specific requirements in your state.
Before it's too late and white mold becomes a problem, you need to ask your seed dealer for heads-up seed treatment. When raising soybeans in the Midwest, you know the risk of being caught unprepared. As heard on AgPhD, there are several steps you can take prior to planting for a successful management plan against white mold. Compatible and cost-effective season-long protection starts now by asking your seed dealer to apply Heads Up to your 2020 bean seed order. For more information, visit headsupst.com.
Revitech fungicide from BASF has been specifically developed for the selective soybean grower who doesn't compromise. If you think good is good enough, if you're okay with just achieving rather than overachieving, if average is your goal, this is not the fungicide for you. Revitech fungicide, brand new chemistry, 3 no-excuse modes of action, 0 modes of compromise. Sounds like the fungicide for you. Revitech fungicide from BASF, that's smart. Always read and follow label directions.
Success isn't just about maintaining your operation, how you make out for the season, or how much you can get from each acre. It's about doing precisely what needs to be done to feed your crop and grow your legacy, all the way down to the last drop. AgroLiquid Precision Crop Nutrition. Apply less, expect more. Find a retailer at agroliquid.com.
Worried about glyphosate-resistant weeds and grasses in your corn? Unleash the power of new Impact Z herbicide and get the early post-application advantage you've been waiting for. Save $3 per acre when you combine Impact Z with a qualifying insecticide purchase. Go to buy2save3.com for details. Buy2save3 is a service mark, and Impact Z is a trademark owned by Ambac Chemical Corporation. All rights reserved. Impact Z is a restricted-use pesticide. Always read and follow label instructions.
Welcome back to Ag PhD Radio. Brian Hefty here along with my brother Darren. We're live in the Morton studio on a Farmer Friday. If you want to call in, it's 844-44-AG-PHD or send us an email, radio@agphd.com. So the first question we had today was about controlling alfalfa, and I said Roundup, and you just have to wait 36 hours, and then you can hay it no problem. But we threw out, all right, well, what if it's Roundup Ready alfalfa? Then obviously Roundup's not going to kill it. If you're going into corn, my best suggestion would be 1 pint of dicamba. Now, it's not going to be perfect, but it's certainly going to burn stuff back. The only problem with that is if this hay was going to go to lactating animals, then you got to wait a really long time. Let's see. The label says 37 days, Darren. 37 days.
That's
lactating.
Number.
That's lactating dairy animals. Okay, so if it's fed to beef cattle, for example, then you don't have that restriction. So that's probably the direction that I would go. Just wanted to get that answer out because I said I was going to double check on that, on what the label specifically said on clarity. I just couldn't remember off the top of my head. All right, we're going to jump back to the phone lines. We've got Scott calling in from Wisconsin. Scott, how are you doing today?
Great. How are you guys?
Excellent. So I hear you got a garden question.
Yeah. So I've been listening to you guys for a couple of years, and I refer people to you guys. And
awesome.
The
thanks.
City is giving me a hard time about my garden in their boulevard.
Okay.
And so I have to destroy some of my lawn, which is okay because I don't want to mow it anyways.
Okay.
But I sprayed it with glyphosate this morning.
Yep.
Do I really have to wait a week to plant in there, or can I go like 3 days?
3 days. Yeah, that ties exactly back to the question, our very first question of the day on alfalfa and how long you have to wait until you can cut that alfalfa. So, yeah, it's okay. It's really the same deal. So nope, okay. you could spray the glyphosate. You could go back in there. I'll say this: you want the weeds to die, so we have to have actively growing conditions or good conditions for active growth. I'm trying to say. So for example, the last 10 days here, it's been like 50 for a high and 30 for a low. Well, those aren't very good conditions. And if you spray Roundup, it's not going to work very well. So if the weather's decent, yeah, you can absolutely go back in 3 days. Those weeds should be dead.
Could I push that and do it like a day?
If you had fantastic weather leading up to it and fantastic weather on that day, then a day might be pushing it a little bit. 2 days, I'd feel a lot more comfortable.
Okay. So, like, this morning it was 60 degrees and foggy. It was wet, you know, on the grass.
Yep.
Is that going to screw me up then? Or is that a good time to spray?
That is not a good time to spray. You want to let the water, you want to let the water go off the grass, and so let the dew disappear or fog or whatever. And here's the reason why. Because think about that. If there is already water on the leaves, on the leaf blades, that's like adding more water to your solution. And we know with glyphosate, it does not like to be watered down. If you water it down, you reduce the amount that actually gets to the growing point. So if you sprayed and there was dew on, and I say the same thing to farmers too. If you spray and there's dew on, then you better bump that Roundup rate because it's going to have a tough time working.
All right.
Okay.
Thanks, guys.
You bet. Thanks, Scott. Appreciate the call.
Yeah, there's always some tricky stuff going on. It's interesting just hearing what's happening with Scott in town there. Let's head back out to the farm here. We got Jacob with us down in Arkansas. Jacob, how you doing?
All right, how are y'all?
Good. So what are you working on today?
Trying to finish up planting soybeans, fertilize corn, and plant cotton.
So you got just a few jobs going on.
Yeah, a little busy right now.
Okay, so talk to us about, you say you're finishing up soybeans today. Is that about the right timing for you, or is this a little behind?
We're a little behind. Most time we start trying to plant around April 1st, not a day or two earlier, and we're just not there yet.
Yep. How about on the cotton now? I know normally with that we like to see a little warmer conditions. We're finally starting to get a little bit more heat here. You're fertilizing out in front, or are you fertilizing some that's already in the ground?
On the cotton, we put some pre-plant out, but we're putting our second round of fertilizer on our corn right now.
Okay, excellent. So when you're looking at the growing conditions down in your area, it's been a little wet. Has that been the big issue, or what's the heat been like for you?
We had similar conditions in February and March as basically the whole country did in 2019. Then once we finally got started planting corn in April, we started April 6th. We started with about a 65 degree soil temperature, and really it hadn't gotten below that. It's just been too wet to plant until about 2.5-3 weeks ago, and then we got a big run at it and had good moisture, good warm soil. All the corn came up within 24 hours or so of each other in the field, so we got a great even stand.
Excellent. How big is your corn now?
Some of our oldest stuff is V3. Some of our youngest stuff is V1, so not very big.
Yep, still small. Yeah, up where we're at, any of the corn that was up, some of the guys had a little spotty frost damage out there, so some of the guys with later stuff are kind of happy that it's popping up a little bit late. Most of our stuff, I think we lucked out fairly well. So you said you're doing some fertilization work with round two. What does round two include? Is that leachable nutrients, or are there some other things you're focused on?
We're going to go with 200 pounds of urea to help it along, and then I'm going to start with some foliar micronutrients probably the first part of next week.
You know, when you're talking about working on three different crops at the same time, I get thinking about switching equipment over from one crop to the next. Is it a big process for you when you jump from one crop to the next like this?
It's not too bad. We've got dedicated planters for each crop, at least between the beans and the corn and cotton. So that's not really a big deal. the cotton is just changing plates out from our corn planters. So that's not a big deal. We actually have a fourth crop. We're going to have some rice. We just hadn't got it planted yet. So we're going to have four crops this year.
Excellent. What's the market doing for rice? I know what it's doing on those other crops you were talking about, but I'm not really up to speed on the rice right now.
Well, I was kind of hoping you could advise me because I hadn't been watching the rice market all that much right now.
Is that a normal one, though? I mean, are you normally planting rice, or is that just a hit-and-miss one for you?
We don't plant it every year. This year, we decided to plant some. Like I was saying earlier, we're a little behind on it. Usually, that's an April crop as well. If you're really, really lucky, maybe a March crop. But, you know, like I said, we're behind.
Yeah, I hear you're awfully busy, Jacob. Really appreciate the chance to talk to you. And good luck here as you're getting the rest of the crops finished up and taken care of. Really appreciate having you on.
Thank you all. Good luck this year.
You bet. Yeah, we definitely need some luck this year. There's no doubt about that. All right, got a few questions that have come in here that I wanted to dive into. One, oh no, Brian, I don't know what this grass is. I got a question. This is from Ryan in Texas. He said, I got some grass that I'm trying to identify. It's growing out of my hay fields. He sent a couple of pictures.
Looks like it has oracles, though, Darren.
You think it might be quackgrass?
Could be. It's really hard to tell.
Yeah.
It looks to me like it has oracles.
It could potentially be quackgrass. So let's talk about this. When we're trying to identify grasses, here's a few clues. When you bend that leaf blade back where it hooks up to the stem, there's a few telltale things you can see. And Brian's talking about oracles. And what we see on the edges of the blade, there's some finger-like projections that wrap around the stalk. If you see that, there aren't that many weeds that have oracles. One of them would be quackgrass, and it does kind of have that coloration to it that looks like it could potentially be. The other thing that I'd look at right where that leaf blade meets the stem is I'd look to see, what do I have for a ligule? Do I have one at all? Now, a ligule is a little membrane or a little strip of hairs or something like that that you'd see when you bend that leaf blade back. And that will help you identify a little bit too, because many of the grasses, you can tell them apart based on what type of ligule they have. So, yeah, we're not sure from your pictures exactly what that is, Ryan, but quackgrass would be our guess. But you could certainly do a little further investigation with some of the grasses by identifying the ligule, looking for oracles, and then, of course, digging up the root system to see if it's an annual or a perennial. We'll be right back after this.
Imagine the perfect flow of grain from the field to the bin. Imagine a single rotor that ensures both quality and productivity. An advanced system that optimizes harvest settings on the go. You don't have to imagine. With features like AFS Harvest Command, an axial flow combine from Case IH always delivers the perfect flow for your operation. Find out how. Talk to your Case IH dealer today.
Find your full potential and increase your bottom line with branded generic insecticides from Atticus LLC. Unwanted insects are a nuisance, but they're no match for Serpent from Atticus. Serpent delivers economical, fast-acting, broad-spectrum control to help your corn, soybeans, and wheat crops thrive. Growers across the region count on Atticus for relevant and reliable products that deliver results every time. Ask your local retailer about Atticus products and visit AtticusLLC.com to learn more. For value-based solutions you can trust, turn to Atticus. Always read and follow label instructions.
What do you think of when you hear Palmer amaranth or water hemp? If you use Fierce herbicide in your soybean fields, you don't have to think about them at all. With two effective modes of action and up to 8 weeks of residual control, Fierce takes on even the toughest weeds like water hemp and Palmer amaranth. Take control of your soybean fields and get incentives from Bayer Plus Rewards when you choose the power of Fierce herbicide. Talk to your local retailer today to put Fierce to work in your fields. Always read and follow label directions.
Success isn't just about maintaining your operation, how you make out for the season, or how much you can get from each acre. It's about doing precisely what needs to be done to feed your crop and grow your legacy, all the way down to the last drop. AgroLiquid Precision Crop Nutrition. Apply less, expect more. Find a retailer at agroliquid.com.
Hey Adam, new drone?
Not just any drone.
I mounted a laser on it to take out weeds.
Look out for that tree!
In the power lines!
Oh, it's heading for the house.
There's a simpler way to protect spring wheat from weeds. Perfect Match Herbicide. The broadest spectrum weed and grass control in one product. Learn more at PerfectMatchHerbicide.com. Always read and follow label directions.
The laser.
When it comes to innovative herbicide formulations, you know Nufarm. They've been bringing growers trusted brands like Panther, Credit Extreme, and Cheetah for decades, made right here in the USA. What's your favorite Nufarm brand? Email it to turnuptheburn@nufarm.com and you'll be entered to win a monthly $1,000 product giveaway. In these challenging times, we know you're under pressure. Nufarm's here to help.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ag PhD Radio, broadcasting from the Morton Studio today on Farmer Friday, taking your calls and questions throughout the show at 844-44-AG-PHD. Get Rick with us right now in Idaho. Rick, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you guys?
You know, we're doing pretty well here. A lot of guys are talking about the wheat and winter kill, about getting some fertility out there, these kinds of things. How are you guys doing? What's the wheat crop looking like out there?
We're actually pretty good. We've been dry, so it doesn't seem like maybe it tillered as well as it did last year, but we're just now in the flag leaf, and actually most of the grain looks pretty good.
All right, so you say it didn't tiller as well. What do you shoot for? Do you have a certain number you're going for in a square yard or a square foot that's kind of a target for your farm?
I guess I've never gone out and actually counted. It's just, I guess, just from experience, just the look of it, how thick it is, more than anything, I suppose.
Yeah, I know what you mean. It's something you can definitely see how thick things are. The reason I was asking that, I got a chance last year to go down to New Zealand to the world record grower's farm, and he was shooting for between 900 and 1,000 tillers in a square meter. And he was working on low population and trying to get at least 10 to 12 tillers per plant. And it was just a way different method of raising wheat. What are you starting with for a population, and what do you like to see for tillers per plant? Do you have kind of an idea that way?
Oh, I guess I've really not ever thought about that. We generally plant around 120 pounds per acre, or 1.7 million seeds per acre, somewhere in that area. And then going into the winter, you just hope it comes up good. And here in Idaho, we don't have a lot of winter kill. In eastern part of the state, they'll get a lot of snow and they get a little winter kill. But in our valley here, we generally don't get winter kill. But I've really never thought about how many tillers per plant. That's pretty interesting.
Yeah, they were looking at different varieties, and they had one variety they could get 30 tillers out of a plant. They just had, you know, a few plants just growing off by themselves just to see what they could possibly do. But they were, one of the things they were working on was nitrogen timing and trying to see how getting nitrogen out to the plant at different times would influence the growth. What is a typical nitrogen application timing for wheat in your area? Do you put a whole bunch on at one time? Do you kind of spoon feed it two, three times during the year? How do you do it?
Well, I'm generally planting behind potatoes, and so in the fall, we have pretty good fertility going in. So I just come back and top dress one time in the spring. Generally when it starts to green up pretty good, we get in and top dress maybe 80 units or so.
Okay. Yeah. Interesting. When you look at that with the top dress type application, is nitrogen generally the limiting factor for wheat production, where if you get a little bit more N, you do better, or is phosphorus or potassium a challenge in your area?
We play around a little bit with it, and I've done it a little bit with the contest, with the National Wheat Yield Contest that I've entered. But, you know, it all depends on your previous crop. It depends on your fertility program. I soil test every year, so I know what I have, and then kind of build on that.
Okay. Yeah, I love the soil testing program too. We've been, the more we learn about that, the more we want to do and want to get ahead of some of these problems before they get started. So let's talk flagleaf. You said you got wheat at flagleaf now. Is this a herbicide or a fungicide timing for you, where you're getting fungicide out to protect the flagleaf, or are you not seeing much disease this year?
So we're in such a dry climate. We really don't have a lot of disease. We just, for preventive maintenance, we put a little fungicide on when we put on our herbicide. But after that, we generally do not have to worry about a fungicide.
Excellent.
I do grow a little bit of triticale for seed production, and we come back in pretty much every year with a late season fungicide on that triticale. But our wheat and barley, we generally don't have to worry about that because we are so dry.
Yeah, it is a much different climate. There's no doubt about that. We're talking with Rick in Idaho. Rick, thank you so much. We appreciate having you on. I know you've raised some tremendous wheat yields in the past. Good luck on your wheat crop this year, and hopefully everything goes well for you.
Thank you. I appreciate it. You guys have a great day, too.
You bet. Thanks. Yeah, Rick's right on. If you're in a dry climate, Brian, this is one of the things we get a lot of questions about, fungicide use. And in a dry climate, disease control isn't really the big deal. I know sometimes we'll talk about the plant health benefits of fungicides and some of the different things that you could get.
Yes, or there are very low levels of disease. So that's where we talk about less expensive products. And, you know, it might be something old. Old Tilt or old, the generic now of Folicure. I mean, there are a lot of products out there for $2 an acre. And a lot of times, the guys I work with in really dry climates, that's what they end up doing, as opposed to going with the $10 or $15 treatments. And it only makes sense. If you have less disease pressure, then why are you so worried about having the very best thing out there? Nevertheless, from time to time, there are disease issues, so you always have to just stay on top of that. All right, jumping back into questions, we had a couple here about Roundup. This one is from Sherry. She was talking about, actually, when we were talking about quackgrass in a Weed of the Week segment, she said, it's very helpful, but I'm no fan of Roundup or any other toxic weed killer. Well, Sherry, Roundup isn't toxic to humans. And, you know, a lot of the weed killers we have are not toxic to humans. They're toxic to weeds, but not to humans. So that's the reason why we're not too concerned about them. Now, don't get me wrong. We want to use personal protective equipment. We want to do everything we can so we as farmers remain safe. Safety's always got to be number one. You know, farming is one of the most dangerous professions in the world. So we don't need anything that adds to that. But for a lot of the herbicides now, they're extremely safe compared to what we used to have to deal with 40, 50 years ago. Next one comes from Mark in Illinois, also talking about the Roundup thing a little bit. But he said something here about 40% reduction in vitamin E in the seed oils of herbicide-treated fields. Mark, don't believe all the stuff that you read. We do a lot of tests on our own farm disproving many of the things that people come out with and say, oh, this thing is bad. And let's see, one of the ones we tested a while back was GMO corn has far fewer nutrients. It's like, what? No way. We've tested it and tested it and tested it and tested it and found actually the opposite. So I'm not buying that at all. In terms of safe handling, he just suggests we talk more about safe handling of a lot of these pesticides. Mark, we do talk an awful lot about safe handling. We don't talk about it on every single Ag PhD TV show or every single radio show. But number one, we've got a lot safer products today than we've ever had before. Number two, this is just something that, look, if you're on the farm, in order to spray anything, you have to go through training and you have to get certified, have a license, and that's part of it, is the training on safety. So safety is first and foremost on most farms in the world. So, yep, but we continue to have to talk about it, and we probably do need to talk about it just a little bit more. But farmers, I think, are very well aware that, hey, with pesticides, we got to use our personal protective equipment. We need to be safe. We agree 100%. He also says here his favorite part of the show is the Weed of the Week. And he says, wishing you good health and another successful crop year. Mark, thanks a lot for the comments. And I agree with you. Safety is a big thing. But to come back to that vitamin E thing, I don't really see it. I really don't. So, and especially when you say seed oils, oh, he did say sunflowers, but maybe, nevertheless, no way. Sunflower, soybeans, no way there are fewer vitamins. I would run your own tests and you will prove that that is not true. Well, stay tuned. We'll be right back with more of your questions after this.
You need a powerful herbicide to fight the war on weeds. Vellum is Rotam North America's mesotrione herbicide, and it fights against the annual broadleaf weeds attacking your cornfields. Winning this battle means higher yields, lower cost to you, and maximized profitability. For long-lasting residual weed control, check out Evinco Vilify and our newest mix, Rixa. For application, flexibility, and season-long control, that's Evinco Vilify and Rixa, powered by Vellum. For more information, visit vellumherbicide.com. That's B-E-L-L-U-M herbicide.com.
You spend all year working hard to get as much yield as possible at harvest. The last thing you want to do is put your grain in the bin and have it spoil before you take it to market. Introducing the Grain Temp Guard from Farm Shop MFG, designed and built by a farmer looking for a low-cost monitoring solution for existing bins. The Grain Temp Guard tracks temperature and humidity with an alarm system to alert you when your grain exceeds safe thresholds. For more information on a system for your bins, visit farmshopmfg.com.
Your land is a legacy, a challenge from those who tended it before you, to build on their foundations. At Corteva Agriscience, we understand what it means to be the stewards of a legacy. We embrace the challenge of building on the foundation of Dow AgroSciences to maintain your trust, to bring new solutions, to help you care for your land. See how we can help build your legacy at rangeandpasture.com.
You deserve to have a building that will last for generations. With more than 110 years of experience and thousands of satisfied customers, Morton Buildings is the industry leader you can trust. Unlike other construction companies, you work with Morton Buildings craftsmen from conception to completion. There's no better time to buy. Lock in your new building for 2020 today. Contact your local Morton sales office or visit mortonbuildings.com.
If you're looking to get the most out of your foliar nutrition and fungicide programs, ask your ag retailer about Nutex EDA from Sipcam Agro. Nutex EDA has been proven to increase foliar micronutrient tissue levels and maintain those levels for an extended period of time. When tank mixed with fungicides, Nutex EDA helps support plant health, resulting in higher quality and yields. Nutex EDA is an affordable and effective solution that should be part of every grower's high-yield toolbox.
What do you think of when you hear Palmer Amaranth or Water Hemp? If you use Fierce herbicide in your soybean fields, you don't have to think about them at all. With two effective modes of action and up to 8 weeks of residual control, Fierce takes on even the toughest weeds like Water Hemp and Palmer Amaranth. Take control of your soybean fields and get incentives from Bayer Plus Rewards when you choose the power of Fierce herbicide. Talk to your local retailer today to put Fierce to work in your fields. Always read and follow label directions.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ag PhD Radio. It's Farmer Friday here in the Morton studio, and we're taking your calls and questions throughout the show at 844-44-AG-PHD. I got a question from Jesse. He said, I get a lot of good information from your show. Can see how it would help with my gardening. I'm wondering, could you recommend a current gardening encyclopedia that lists micronutrients for each type of plant? I had a Wise's guide a few years ago, but loaned it out and didn't get it back. And said many of my mother's brothers were farmers, so my uncles were farmers, and I have a love for farming and respect all types of farming. Hey, thanks a lot, Jesse. Really appreciate the question. You know, we do have an app, the Ag PhD Fertilizer Removal App, and it may have some of the crops that you're raising in your garden, and it would tell you what you need for various nutrients. I know Neil Kinsey talks a lot about specific nutrients and references Absolutely. A number of different crops. He's got a great book called Hands-On Agronomy. It's not necessarily just a chart of here's the crop and here's here's the pounds of nutrients, but he talks through each one of those nutrients and the importance in a wide variety of crops. I think that's a good resource too. Anything else you would recommend on that, Brian?
Nope. That's the direction I would go. All right, next one. I don't have a name to this. They never put their name on it, but they asked, have you seen the new research on soybeans done at University of Kentucky? They have discovered a new pathway that helps soybeans fight off diseases. Well, if that's true, that sounds great to me. We're looking for any advantage we can get.
There's always research being done, even on these crops that are old, that have been around for a long time.
Yep.
I mean, we're learning new things with new levels of science. It's one of the things that makes agriculture so exciting to me is that we're changing so quickly and we're learning so quickly. And you see it, honestly, with world record yields here and there and even down to county and local record yields. One of the reasons why is some of the research that's being done. So, yeah, thanks for sharing that. We'll have to check it out.
All right, next one is from Thomas. He says, hey, I'm a curious guy. Would timber bamboo work as a saline irrigation solution for seasonal repair of historically ruined soils, such as the ancient Mesopotamia, over some predictable period of time with, of course, the additional gypsum? It's a dumb question, I'm sure, but I was just thinking about soils damaged by fracking activity in an oil market. So, Thomas, I would just say this. In terms of saline, we talk about let's work on fixing the soil, number one, and saline's super easy to fix. It's as simple as improve your drainage and quit dumping more salt on there. We do those two things and we're going to fix it. Now, if it's really bad, if the saline level is really high, it's going to take some time to get there. So I understand where the question's coming from, because basically you're wondering what will grow in a saline soil. Usually we'll talk to guys in saline sodic situations about barley, but there are a number of crops out there you can look up that are that will tolerate high salt and high sodium levels. And yeah, if it's just saline, not a sodium issue, that's easy to fix. So the sodium issue, if it was a sodic soil, that takes more time and more work. But the saline thing, honestly, I think that's easy. Just put tile on the ground and quit throwing more salt out there. And usually we solve the problem in a relatively short amount of time.
All right, thanks for the question. Get this one from JF. He says, I farm in, I'm assuming it's a man. It could be a woman too, I guess. JF says, I farm in Africa, and I'm wondering what active ingredients would be important for me in terms of herbicides to look for. I realize product names would be different in Africa than in your country.
What crop?
Doesn't say the crops. So here, think about some of them that can be used in a lot of things. Like glyphosate, for example, is what's called Roundup here. That is a non-selective herbicide. So that could kill, you know, pretty much any weed, but also any plant that you spray it on.
How about we do this? Because literally we could name every pesticide in the world here. So why don't we respond to him by saying, let us know what crops you're talking about, and then we'll tell you the appropriate active ingredients. Because to just make some blanket statement that, oh, they're these to pay attention to, well, maybe you don't raise the crops that you could use those in.
Okay. I was just thinking of probably the most popular chemistries, glyphosate, trifluralin, metolachlor. Those are ones that get used in multiple crops.
But trifluralin might kill whatever crop he's raising. I don't know.
All right. Well, thanks for the question, JF. Yeah, respond back with whatever crops you're raising, and we can see what we can come up with. Thanks. All right, got one from Darian, who says, my dad saw an episode a while back on Ag PhD where you were using wax on tractors. Wondering what the name of the wax is. Boy, that's a great question, Darian. I don't know off the top of my head. I know what you're talking about. I remember back a number of years ago, and I honestly, I think it was something we just got at a tractor supply or someplace like that to put on. In fact, I just the other day saw somebody on Ag social media that was posting something about waxing tractors and stuff too, and I got thinking about that. So I'm not sure. I guess I can't tell you off the top of my head. I think I'd talk to your equipment dealer and just ask them, hey, if I wanted to wax the tractor, you got any recommendations of products that are a little easier to use?
What else you got over there,
Darian? All right, got a question from Mike, and he said, hey, Brian and Darian, I live in north central Wisconsin, and I want to plant a variety of grasses in an old pasture for horse hay. I'm wondering what kind of grasses you would recommend. It's mostly sandy soil. I want to no-till right into it, or do you think it would be better if I worked the old pasture up first before planting new grasses?
Almost for sure. The biggest issue that we have when seeding grasses is seed-to-soil contact and then keeping that soil wet. So ideally, if we can keep it wet for 7 consecutive days, then you're going to have a pretty good stand if you had good seed-to-soil contact. So what we do a lot of times here is we'll till, or we advise people to till, then we seed it, then we pack it. If you don't have something good, a good seeder that packs it right as you go. So you can roll, like for example, we'll use these big rollers many times after we seed grass. But then a lot of times what we'll do is we'll cover it with straw and we will just keep watering it for 7 straight days. When we do that, we usually have a fantastic stand. Did he have a question too about variety? Because I don't know.
Yeah, he was asking
what type of grass.
Yeah, what type of grasses and so forth. So we get a lot of questions like this about specific to a certain region or state. Well, what would be the best types of grasses that you could plant in that area? And it does really vary. And I know you made a good comment there too, Michael, that you had a more of a sandier soil type, and certainly some grasses will handle that a little better than others. I would talk to your county extension agent or your local land grant university. So in Wisconsin.
Or even a local agronomist.
Yeah. Yeah, and just ask them what they're having good luck with. A lot of times here's one thing, and I didn't realize that a lot of people weren't aware of this, but in each state in the United States, there's a land-grant university that focuses on agriculture. So in your state, it'd be University of Wisconsin down in Madison. And yeah, that's how things were set up a long time ago, and I think it's been great. So when you're thinking about questions like that, and it may be something where your local agronomy center might have some expertise in that, and it may not. You can always turn to that land grant university too and see what kind of information and studies they have over the years. Thanks for the question. Get a question from Bill. He said, just wondering what your crops are looking like in South Dakota. I've seen some reports that farmers aren't able to get anything planted, and I've heard you guys talking like you've gotten about everything planted. Is there that much difference in your state this year?
Yep, there sure is. I talked about that at the start of the show today, but in terms of southeast South Dakota, we're basically done and everything's great. In terms of north central South Dakota, there is a long ways to go. There's very little crop that's in the ground. We're hoping and praying that they get no rain this weekend, because next week the forecast looks great. Sunny, warm, windy, and if that happens, there will be a lot of crop planted yet in north central South Dakota.
Okay, got one from Jerry. He said, I know residual control in soybeans is really important for weeds, especially with all the resistant weeds out there. Unfortunately, my planter got way ahead of my sprayer. I've got some beans poking through on a few fields, and I'm going to have to return my Valor that I had previously bought.
Okay.
Since I don't have any pre on, and I really want to get residual on, what do you think the best options are that I could put on early post-emerge?
At this point, it's probably Warrant Ultra or Anthem Max. They both have the same modes of action. Each one has a Group 15, and each one has a PPO. So Warrant Ultra is a combination of Warrant and Flexstar, and Anthem Max is a combination of Zidua, the Group 15 grass killer from BSF. BSF sells it. The active ingredient is in FMC's Anthem Max. But anyway, Anthem Max is Zidua plus Cadet. And Cadet is a PPO, just like Flexstar is a PPO. So those two would be really good options. I encourage people to get those on as soon as they can after those beans have come out of the ground. And then you've got, you know, whatever other options later on for post-contact activity.
Yep, and those soil residuals, they need a little bit of rain to get working. So the sooner you get them out there, the better. It gives you a little more of a window to get the weed control. Thanks for the question. Really appreciate that. Thanks to everyone who sent in questions today. We had a ton of them and a ton of calls. We really appreciate that. Thanks to you for listening. Be sure to join us again each weekday for more Ag PhD Radio. Now stay tuned for Rob Sharkey and Shark Farmer Radio.